AECOM contracts, scope of work.
Good afternoon. I'm here to discuss the next step in the TID process. On August 20th of 2016, the County Council voted to move forward with the TID process. And then at your meeting on February 21st of 2017, Secretary Cohen indicated that there were a number of next steps in the process, and one of those was to create a parcel-level build-out analysis of properties within that TID boundary. Staff, along with attorneys, met with Kyle Gabronson, who is here from AECOM. He's one of the county's pre-approved planning services consultants, to discuss the next step. Included in your packet was the proposed scope of work, along with a memo. Today, we're looking for approval for that proposed scope of work. The scope of work is to create a baseline of the proposed build-out of development and for a development analysis within the proposed TID. The baseline will be based on current zoning of the properties. Once that baseline of the proposed build-out of the development analysis is completed, it will be brought back to the council for your review and consideration. The scope of work is expected to take approximately 4 weeks and with a cost not to exceed $7,000.
Okay. And this is, I think, Mr. Lawson, refresh my memory, our last conversation with the people from DelDOT. This is the beginning of the process, basically. I mean, we have to put some numbers on paper, and then they start their process.
That's correct. The last time DelDOT representatives were here presented to County Council, they turned it over or turned it back to the county, asking for your support to move forward to do this base analysis of the parcels. And at that point, the council agreed, and this is that next step to actually have the work done and brought back to the county council to review.
Okay. Do you have a motion first? We'll get the motion, hopefully, and we'll get questions.
Be it moved that County Council approve the scope of work as outlined in Exhibit B to AECOM's Planning Services Agreement to perform a parcel-level build-out analysis for the proposed Henlopen TID for a cost not to exceed $7,000.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr.
Cole.
President. Do we have a second? Second, Mr. Arlett. Questions on the motion? Mr. Burton?
There were two things that were supposed to happen. We were to produce the denominator, and DelDOT was to produce the numerator, correct? Are they anywhere close to saying this is the extent of your opportunities?
I'm not sure I understand that question, but I mean,
I'll explain it without
it.
Using the math.
Okay, all right. I'm getting better than this.
My understanding is to get an idea of the efforts that it's going to take to get the TID before the council and the council fully agree to keep moving forward, is we've got to get at least an estimate of the work that needs to be done. DelDOT's work is focused on the traffic improvements within the TID. Our work has to be the baseline parcel analysis. My understanding is DelDOT has done the traffic analysis. That's what they came down and showed us, and that part of it is complete. Now we have to do the parcel analysis. That's what we're asking today to do. Put the two together with, I'd say, further analysis and further vetting by the two entities, DelDOT and the County Council, will get us closer to what this full scope of work looks like.
But what they're looking for is a number, and what we're looking for is a number. Are they anywhere close to getting their number together?
I think that they would. It depends on how you take the approach. They're not going to put a number together until they hear from us on the agreed upon level of services. That's a decision by this council, which would then get us a ballpark figure on the amount of improvements required to get that intersection or roadway improved. I think they're poised and ready to do that work as soon as we're ready to do that work. But this is also another step that has to be done to couple the two together to get the final product.
Okay, and your estimated time is 4 weeks?
4 weeks to get the baseline completed.
And you will be taking into account approved developments that are not built, where do you cut them off?
This scope is just to look at vacant land and what could be developed within that. And then So all of anything that's developed or is already in the pipeline, that information has already been obtained. So this would just be looking at a build-out scenario for vacant land.
So if there's an approved subdivision but nothing has happened, that is, and it's inside the TID, that will be a counted part, that will be a counted parcel.
Not part of this scope, that would be counted towards the overall TID if the county moves forward.
Okay. Because we know that number.
We have that information. So anything that's already been approved and developed, we have that information. This is vacant land that what could potentially develop based on current zoning.
All right, but I guess approved and developed is that's a given, right? Approved on a plot plan, no houses, it's just lines on a piece of paper. We are eventually going to take them into account as well.
They will be taken into account.
Okay.
Okay. Any more questions?
Have we reached out to, I assume we have. I mean, but I've not heard it, unless I was thinking when somebody maybe answered the question. But have we reached out to the utility companies? They obviously are planning. They know what's coming. Right. So have we reached out to them with their estimation or guesstimation of what is coming from their perspective?
We have not. Again, we just want to do a very generic baseline based on what the current zoning is. If we reach out to them, that could have other ramifications. But based on current zoning, you know, you can get, you know, two units to an acre. So we can get them a baseline.
Will we eventually reach out and get find out what they're doing as it relates to what they're expecting as things continue to evolve?
That is an option the council can determine if they want to do that and move forward.
So you would be seeking direction from us to do that?
If you so choose, depending on the path forward you want to take with the TID, that is an option.
Okay. And then you also, again, we have a historical analysis of how many parcels or how many homes, I should say, you know, that we're building every year, right?
Yes.
So it concerns me a little bit, truth be told, that we're looking at only what's there today and not necessarily what could be coming.
And again, that can be done at a later date if the council so chooses. That is a different path to look at if you look at doing something else with those parcels. But currently, whatever the current zoning is that is how we're proposing to look at the land use and the potential build out.
The thought, Mr. Arlett, is to form a baseline within the TID.
Sure.
It will never get less than what it is currently. So let's at least analyze what could go inside the TID today, and we'll know that as a starting point. And to Mr. Burton's comments, we'll have that discussion as it relates to the math, the number, what the cost would look like, and a decision by this council could happen pretty quick if the math becomes unreasonable. To your first point about utilities, that's probably a comprehensive land use conversation, bringing in the utilities, and I know they are having that conversation right now within the land use workshops. Perhaps the next item on today's agenda, you could hear it from.
Okay.
Again, here's another issue I keep bringing up, Mr. President. I know you like these issues. Carrying capacity study would give us a lot of this information if we could ever do one in this county.
This will probably be as close to a mobility transportation carrying capacity within the TID that you would see.
Pardon me?
This will be a carrying capacity in another form within this TID just for transportation.
But everybody talks about, you know, what can happen. Well, we don't know what can happen but we do, like you say, we do know the base. We've been generous, and how generous we can be in the future should be predicated on how much capacity do we have in a lot of these areas. So anyway, okay. It would be a good tool, I'm telling you guys.
More questions? I do want to read one thing into the record, I guess, while we're talking about this. I got a fax, I guess, and the statement is at the bottom says, I ask you to place the Transportation Improvement District within the context of the land use plan update so the Planning Commission can continue the work in involving the public as possible. And that's from Mabel Granke. Any more questions? Hearing none, we'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Unanimous.
And you're still up.
I'm still up. So the next item is just an update on the comprehensive plan workshops and the plan that I've got help. The Planning Commission has met three times since we've last discussed. They met on March 22nd, and at that time they looked at the historic preservation chapter, they looked at a vision statement, and then they looked at economic development and community design chapters. At their March 29th meeting, the entire meeting was spent on the future land use chapter. We started discussing, Mr. Medlars was there to give information about utilities and where sewer's going. They began preliminary discussions on the future land use. And then just yesterday, they got an update on the economic development chapter, further going over the goals, objectives, and some new additional strategies. The remainder of the focus was on the utility element. We've had presentations from electrical providers, gas providers, and some internet broadband providers, our construction firms. And we've also had Artesian and some of the other water wastewater providers were also there. So we are currently working through the utility chapter regarding goals, objectives, and strategies.
And I would just add to that, we're just hitting on some of the high points. The vision statement we pretty much have done. I think we're going to revisit that at the end to fine-tune that. One of the things we looked at doing also was coming up with a vision statement for each element. So at the top of each element, there would be a vision for that particular element. In terms of work product that we've completed, the historic preservation element is, I think, pretty close to done. We actually were supposed to get to that yesterday, but utilities ran long. These are six-hour meetings that we're doing. I mean, it's a lot of heavy lifting at the commission level. So we didn't get to review the historic preservation element. I suspect that economic development and community design will be the next ones online. The economic development sub-consultant was here yesterday, and there was a lot of data that we went over and wanted to tweak on that a little bit. The community design one, I will tell you, we looked at what was in the 2008 plan, kind of looked at the lessons we learned from that design is so aesthetics-based that it's often hard to figure out what may work today, you know, is good 5 or 10 years down the road. So that may be an element that ends up being a little bit shorter than it has been in the past. But we're trying to move through new ones and also keep up with the old ones so that we can have information for these public hearings that are coming up in May, and also to give you some working drafts of elements as we get through with them. With the future land use element, that one was, and that's going to be an element that's going to be continuing throughout the commission's process. We're going to keep revisiting it along the way, and also it underlines a lot of the other elements. Pretty much all day discussion on that, we really looked at what was in our current plan, so we were familiar with that and our current maps, and we spent a lot of time with that. Then we went through goals and objectives on that based on the current and the goals and objectives that the council and commission and the public and everybody had wanted to see in that, and fine-tune those. And then we also looked at, Councilman Arlette's point, where utilities are, electric, water, wastewater, because that plays a point in future land use. And then we really got down into the exercise of looking at, how the map should be around the individual towns. And we started I don't know why it particularly started with Selbyville, but it started with Selbyville. And so we kind of got into that exercise, which I think was a good tool to see how we're going to be able to do this going into the future. I mean, when you look at their annexation areas versus our town center and developing areas versus where CPCNs are and where the towns can provide sewer and water versus the county, you quickly realize it becomes a pretty complex stew of things that you got to come up with to figure out how these maps are going to look. So there's been a real effort, I have to say, by the commission to really dig into this with staff and with McCormick and Taylor. We've had, as Janelle said, three meetings, and they've been six-hour meetings with a half-hour break for lunch to really, get through a lot of work. So we're plugging away, and we want to get it done so that we can get information to you, get information to the public so they can see what we're working on.
And I think I did hear you say, as they get elements done to a point of draft,
yeah,
you will then share that with council to keep us up to speed with.
That's true, and I guess a question for council is, would you like to see those in batches, or would you like to see them one-off each time? You know, I don't know how you want to address those.
Anybody have any preference, Mr. Burton?
Well, I guess that was my question, but my follow-up is, what do we do with them? I mean, are we discussing them here, or are we just, what do we do?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, certainly you all could discuss them if you have input back to the commission, things you would like the commission to consider. At the end of the process, you're going to have an opportunity to revisit them as well. So I would say that maybe on an element-by-element basis. The goal here is that hopefully, you know, some elements are going to certainly be more detailed, and there's more issues involved in them. But to the extent possible, the commission's put a lot of work in these so that hopefully as a council, you won't have to revisit the whole element. You will know that there's been a lot of public input from the public and private sector, you know, in terms of, you know, entities like the utilities and things, so that we're not looking at reworking whole elements. We're, you know, asking, what's this mean, or is there a better way to do that for certain almost line items or paragraphs in the elements as they come through?
But if we got a historical preservation draft, mm-hmm, are we discussing it publicly here and then readdressing it, or are we?
I guess the way, thinking how this would work the best, is we don't want to have a comp plan on parallel paths, because then nobody's going to get anything done. You know, again, knowing that you all are going to have the final say on it. If there's issues that you see that, you know, are taking a left turn when you'd rather the commission take a right turn, we probably ought to know that during this discussion. But, you know, I don't know that I want to get in a whole lot of back and forth. I don't want to avoid it, but I don't want to get us bogged down in, you know, doing two plans at the same time.
Would it be better if, I'm just thinking this out loud, if you, as you get these done, as you said, one off, as you send the first one you get to the council, and everybody gets to look at it and read through it and hopefully understand it or whatever, mm-hmm, and if they have something that's really a red flag to them, they could contact you or Janelle or somebody, yeah, and get that information back to P&Z.
I think that probably works.
Yeah. But the only problem I have with that, Mike, is if one individual sends down some concerns about a certain element, it doesn't have the same impact unless it was a consensus of the council. So we could have five different things coming in, you know, to consider on one of these elements, and I just think that they're going to be ignored. But if you get a consensus of this council that there's a concern, then I think they ought to look at it, because that's one of the questions I'm asking. I'd like to see each element come in. We have a conversation about it, and then if there's a consensus at the end of that presentation, then that message ought to be sent back to P&Z, so they're not going off in this direction, and we're slowly turning that boat maybe a little different direction. So there needs to be, I think, throughout the whole process, the communication. We take the heat. We have to vote for it. We have to consider it. It's our plan. I know they like to think it's their plan. No, it's county council's plan, and so there that. Because I've got one, when we get done, I've got one I'm going to suggest to you right now that I'd like to see, and I hope there'd be, I'm hoping I get a consensus. I don't want to just say George Cole would like to see this, because it took 30 years to get something done with that sewer thing. Mike was holding me back for 20.
I really don't have a preference how we, what's up, where everybody thinks. I don't care how we do it. I just thought.
I think we got to be involved. Day
no, and I don't think there's anybody that's suggesting that you wouldn't be. I would point out, I think it's going to be a case by case basis. You're going to get an element, you know, historic preservation. You're going to read it, and we're going to discuss it, and it's going to be an evolution of what comes out of that discussion.
But I'd like to see you all come here. Say, here's the element.
Oh,
we put it on the agenda for a half hour. We discuss it, see if there's any concerns. If it looks like it's going in the right direction, we step back from that one. But then there may be ones that, you know, like you say, the red flag comes out. I want to see that red flag earlier as opposed to later. That's
all. I think that's what we're proposing to
do. Okay. Yeah. Well, however you think it works, but.
You got something you want to?
Well, no, I just, if we're done, no, I want to bring one up, an issue, and I don't know where it is, fits into your scheme of things right now, but we heard something earlier today about some complaints about the industrial big mega chicken farms. We saw it down in the lower eastern shore, and it's now creeping up. If we don't have any legislation or regulations, it's coming here. And as they identified it as basically eating up, you know, 100% of the parcel of land, very little left. Anyway, what I'd like to see, we have a we don't have an ag district in Sussex County. We have a agricultural residential district. So in my opinion, it's a residential district like other districts. So we don't truly have an ag district. I would like the Planning and Zoning Commission to consider a truly an ag district where maybe these large-scale agricultural uses would be directed. And where we could start is with the lands that have been set aside by the state of Delaware, where the taxpayers have paid farmers not to develop. And they've got strict requirements. That could be the nucleus of the ag district. And if anybody wanted to join it, they could. Nobody's taken anything. Everything else is still AR1. But we change those AR1 farms that have been set aside, right, for preservation as the ag district. And then we could come up with something, you know, incentives to make if a farmer truly is a farmer and wants to farm for the next couple of generations because it's in their DNA or whatever, they could downzone from the AR1 district to the ag district, and then they would reap certain incentives and benefits and stuff like that. But so I would like the P&Z Commission to consider an ag district for these agribusinesses, agri-industrial type uses, mega chicken farms, whatever.
And I think that segues into a discussion that the commission is already, commissioners, I should say, are already thinking about, because that was sort of also one of the points that we were looking at. We had one of the electric utilities and also a broadband utility come in and talk about where their points of termination are for broadband particularly, because that's a good place to look at an ag or agribusiness zone, because then, you know, you have a, as Commissioner Ross says, a blob there around that makes sense maybe for agribusiness or ag zones where these types of businesses could go. So that, I think that falls into a discussion that we're going to have, but yeah, we'll make sure that's known to the commission.
Well, yeah, I don't know if it, like I said, takes a consensus. I think if there's a consensus, there's a little more weight to it for the commission to consider. So I don't know, Mr. President,
I'm not going to say everybody, but I would think, yeah, it makes sense. We've talked about this for a couple of years now, about when they do the new comp plan to have an ag district, some call it ag overlay, but an ag district that you would say they're going to put whatever here that's ag-related, is business-wise, it's not going to be a big a deal to come in and get, hopefully, conditional uses or zones or whatever, because right. You expect it to be there.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't.
I mean, there should be a desire on our part to protect at the agricultural base of this county. And right now, I don't see us doing anything protecting through the AR1 district and what we're doing. So that's why I say if we could create this ag district, and then people would have to go into that, and that would give them certain protections so they can continue these large-scale agricultural operations and maintain that economic base that we've benefited for so many years. We don't want to lose that.
I would say that, I think you're probably right, and the people who spoke to us today from 404 certainly have issues, and I did go to their meeting last week for a couple hours, and there's some passionate people out there that have a lot to say, you know, and I think they're looking for things, maybe even AR1, you know, I mean, what I keep hearing is there should be bigger setbacks from property lines, and there should be some kind of a number of how many chicken houses go on, like you do with homes, a density, that at some point in time you're past the just a chicken grower to you are now in a industrial operation of growing chickens.
Right.
And maybe that should be looked at differently, so I don't.
Right.
I told them we'll discuss it. So
understood.
So any more things?
Yeah. No, so basically, will that get passed on?
Anybody doesn't want to see an ag district? Talk about.
I disagree with his comment.
Not an ag district?
Yes, sir.
No. Really? it's
amazing.
Farmers not for ag district.
I'm not for that reason. For when you force farmers, say, if you don't make ag district, you're going to pay tax on it. I disagree with that. I disagree with the point if you have a piece of ground over one side of the road and the other side of the road, you can't build anything because the house is there. I disagree with that thinking. That's wrong.
Well, I don't think it
I don't know what.
I think with this guy coming here today, and he don't like to call somebody build a chicken house across in front of him. Why is he? Who's if he had the right to buy the piece of ground across front of him? So, who are we to tell him that he can't build? That somebody can't build a chicken house across when it's agriculture piece of land? Are we trying to be communists here or what?
I don't think anybody's talking about telling somebody they can't build a chicken house on their piece of land.
Well, it sounds like we're heading that direction.
Well,
if we're not very careful, we don't watch it, we'll get there. Where George is getting.
Well, I don't.
I like George, but I disagree with George.
I don't think an ag district is going to stop that. It's an additional tool they could use, but we're a long way from doing anything.
Well, you're saying it's got to be a big piece of farmland. It's going to be set aside.
No, nobody said anything yet, Sam. I just asked planning and zoning to consider creating an agricultural district. And you being a farmer, if you don't want to do that, you can take the position that you don't want to protect agricultural operations in this county. That's fine.
Mr. Cole, I mean, if we go back and listen to the tape here, you said about something about a large piece of farmland couldn't be set aside.
I don't think I did, but
I believe you did. If we go back and listen to tape, I believe it was on there.
All right.
We'll move on.
Okay.
I think you've got some ideas. I think some, Mr. Arlington, you have
something? Just one comment, and that would be, well, first off, I did write down earlier, you know, and this is, again, nothing new, you know, need an agricultural industrial zone. I think all it is, it's providing transparency and predictability to all parties. That's it. Nobody's taking away anything from anybody. I think all it truly does, it provides transparency and predictability for all parties. I think it's a responsibility to do that. If you have gray area out there, then guess what you get back out is confusion and unpredictability or unpredictability, I should say. So to me, it makes sense, you know, to be able to provide the various options, various you know, opportunities based on what one vision is. That's it.
And I'm just curious to see what kind of ideas they come back with. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, there's a couple different ways to go at it. And what we may end up doing, because this one's got enough momentum on one of these workshop meetings, it may be that that's just a specific line item on the agenda, too.
Mr. President.
Mr. Wilson.
Here's the point. Nobody knows what you're going to do for 1 year next. That's in this world. I don't think you even know what you're going to do, Zach. What you're going to do this time next year?
He probably will be farming.
Yep. No, he
probably standing right here some Tuesday.
Lord willing.
Yeah, amen. Right. For all of us.
Amen.
Thank you for the update. You got anything else?
I do. I just want to let you know that we have scheduled the second round of public meetings.
Good. Yeah.
May 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 10th, and 16th. They will be at the Laurel Fire Hall, the Cheer Center in Georgetown, the Frankfurt Fire Hall, the Milford Senior Center, and the Beacon Middle School, and they will be from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. We'll be
You'd already sent that out to us before, but right. If you would resend it again, that'd be a good thing.
Because now we have the times.
Some of us have bad memories.
Can I add one more comment as we're talking about this subject matter? Because I also wrote down, I guess it was yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit the new ACE Center here in Georgetown. As they were opening up their new facility, and I think we should tackle this as a council, and I think we can attack it as an opportunity to provide some options out there as it relates to affordable housing. I think that's something that I would like to see that the PNZ comes up with also, as it relates to, because there are real options, and I think, is it confirmed that he's going to be able to come, perhaps? I think that first...
We'll get on the agenda, yeah.
So we can get an update from, you know, his ideas presented to this council, but I think that's something that we can look at.
We certainly, when we have the housing element, because that'll fall right into that,
right.
And whoever has the contact information, we do have public comment for an hour, actually, at the beginning of our meetings and a half hour at the end, and that's where a lot of these different groups or entities
sure.
have come in. So that would be real helpful if they could come to the commission as well. So just
and I think he is.
Yeah,
I think he's
okay.
already on this.
Expectation management real quick.
But that would be a good place for him to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Is to those workshops.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if he's not able, we are taking comments through the website.
Yeah, that would,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with him coming here, but probably of the two things, it'd probably be better to go to there because they're actually working on that kind of stuff, you know, haven't heard, you know.
So just one last thing as far as expectations. Because we have the public meetings in the early part of May, we're going to have one more meeting to kind of prepare for those. But because of those, we're not going to be working on these workshops like we've done three in the past 2 weeks. So there probably won't be any updates to council probably for a month at this point, just because we're going to be gearing towards those public meetings.
That's sure. All.
Okay?
Sure. Okay.
And what day are we supposed to be at Chair Center?
The 2nd.
May 2nd.
May 2nd, 5 to 7.
May 5, huh?
May 2nd, 5 to 7. 5 to 7 or 5 to 7? 5 to 7:30.
They're all 5
to 7:30.
All 5 to 7:30.
Okay.
She's going to resend it.
I'm going to resend it. I think everybody was given an Outlook calendar that kind of reserved times in those afternoons, and we'll update that.
That'd be great. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
I think what we're going to do is this. We're going to hope this next thing will be very easy. We're going to go to Jim Hicken. I will warn the two of you, we're on a tight time frame here, because when you get done, we're going to move down to executive session and go downstairs for executive session. So, okay.
Doesn't take long for you to say yes
or no.
Good
In fact,
point.
No's only two words.
Good point. Then I'll move on. I'm here to talk to you about project number 17-20, construct taxiway D design. So this is just the design portion of a construction project that we're hoping to move on to. Taxiway D will be a full length parallel taxiway to our crosswind runway, which is runway 1028. This is brand new construction. There's nothing there now. This project has been in our master plan since 2007. You've seen it in the county's budget and the five-year capital plan starting back in 2009. And we've been working with the FAA for 5 or 6 years now, programming their money to help us pay for it. So it's an important project. Hopefully move on to. There's a couple reasons why it's important. First thing, if you notice, all the orange in the center field part of the airport, that's development that we're hoping to be able to get to. The problem is we have a taxiway that's in the way. So moving that taxiway allows us to get to that development. There's 12 different hangars shown on the drawing there. The smallest one is 10,000 square feet, which is what the big blue hangars at the airport are right now. The largest ones are 50,000 square feet. If we had this land available a few years ago, I think we would have been very competitive to attract a light sport aircraft manufacturer that was looking for a place to set up their headquarters. In fact, I have an email I need to answer today. Somebody's looking for a place to put another 10,000 square foot hangar. So this is very important for development. The other thing that this does is it allows us to develop instrument approaches to both ends of the crosswind runway. This is an important piece of infrastructure for doing that. We've been working with companies like FedEx and a small airline that operates small aircraft, having instrument approaches to all the runways at the airport would be important to them to bring their business here. This also supports the FAA's a statutory requirement that they have to try to develop approaches to secondary runways. So we've done a lot of work so far. Delta Airport Consultants was selected back in 2013, actually, to do this project. It was a qualification-based selection, so we felt like they were the best qualified of the bunch. We've been working with them to develop a scope of work for the project. The FAA requires us, before we can see Delta's proposal, we have to do an independent fee estimate of what that scope of work would cost. We contracted with a company called McFarland Johnson to do that estimate for us. Their estimate was $473,000. Once we got that, we were able to see Delta's proposal. Delta's proposal was basically $471,000. So based on all that, we think that's a reasonable cost for this project.
Moving right along.
Yes. There's a couple of extra fees for the project. The total cost of the design project will be $477,996. So the next step would be to apply for a grant from the FAA. And like I said, they've been programming this money for quite a while. So the money is there. The grant would be $430,196. The county share would be $23,900 out of that. And then the state would match that. So what I'm looking for is approval to move forward with the process. But I also want to mention, this is just design. There's a much more costly construction phase to this, which the FAA has told us to expect a grant over 2 years, two separate grants. The cost for construction right now is about $5.6 million, of which the FAA would pay 90%. So it's over two grants.
So far, we're looking at just a $20-some-thousand cost to the county.
Correct.
At this stage.
Correct. Okay. But we wouldn't want to move forward with that if we didn't really intend to build we're designing.
It seems, has the council agreed on Todd? Have we agreed to move forward? Is this some part of plan that we've
given
some kind of?
Those orange lines represent the master plan that the council has approved.
Okay.
So ultimately, if we move forward with the airport over time, that's what we will see. So step by step, budget by budget, year by year, this is our approach.
All right.
You have a motion?
Sure.
Thank you.
Good.
No motion?
One point of order.
Sure.
This project is grant eligible and only taxiway. I want to make sure the council can understand. Only the taxiway here is part of the grant package. Everything we do above and beyond is not eligible.
Is on us.
Be it moved, based on the engineering department's recommendations, Sussex County Council approves the engineering department requesting an airport improvement program grant in the amount of $430,196 for Sussex County Project 17-20, construct taxiway D design.
I'll make a motion contingent on the state and federal government to participate in this.
This is allows me to apply for the grant like I have in the past. I'll be back once they offer the money for you to formally accept it and then also to approve Delta's contract.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arnett. Any questions on the motion?
So we're going this is just for design.
This is design. Design only.
Design only, correct?
It'll cost us $20-some-thousand.
This is for me to move forward with the application.
Right.
It seems to me what we've got done here should be design if it's all grand total here, what we're supposed to do all together here.
The master plan has been in design, but this is...
How come we're not designed then? We spent all this money for master design.
Well, this is part of the master design.
This is a small part of it.
Yeah.
We did that whole thing.
Councilman Wilson, only the taxiway is grant eligible. So if we paid design money for the rest, we would have to pay 100% for it.
So we have no taxiway now.
We have no taxiway.
There is a taxiway. I'm sorry.
Not a parallel.
The parallel taxiway is what is important for developing the instrument approaches.
More questions on the vote? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
No.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Obvious. Motion carried. Before we do anything, is there anybody here for the old business change of zone number 1812?
Mr. Schrader is.
Besides Mr. Schrader. Am I in the public? Anybody in the public?
Public. Attorneys.
Oh, but she's not an attorney. I assume she's a public.
But there's no public hearing.
Now, there's no public hearing. Anybody here that wanted to hear what's going on in the public? Okay. Is that what you want to do, Mr. Burton? Move that?
Yeah, but I'm not voting on
it. I know you're not, but that was.
I see him sitting there.
They're not for that purpose, apparently.
Oh, okay. Then I was off on that.
No. So nobody's here except Mr. Attorney and Lee. Okay. We're going to move to old business very quickly. Change number 1812, Janelle, come on forward, please. Oxford.